This is Wednesday evening, 4/17/24, part 8 of the Office of the Prophet. All right, just a little recap here. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Which we know revealeth means to disclose. It's like it, I say it this way, apostles are the spiritual house builders, but the prophets provide the spiritual blueprints. Before you can build something, you must first have the plan. And this is what blueprints are, a detailed plan or program of action. All right, Acts 13:4 says God's temple is a spiritual house. All right. No, it doesn't say that. But it is. All right, let me see here why I put that here. Okay, the point being is in Acts chapter 13, and we're going to read it later, God sent these apostles out, a team, to go into the Gentile nations and begin to build a spiritual house. Okay? All right. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go to there. Look at verse 37. Right here, verse 37 says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. That means arrangement. God has an arrangement. And so this is a Holy Ghost arrangement. It's not a... just somebody's idea. Lord told me to go plant a church, so I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do this and that. I don't know how many's come and gone from this area just with that kind of thinking. And when things didn't turn out the way they thought that they should, in a certain period of time, they uprooted and went out of here. And recently, the Lord spoke to me and said there would be some coming back. I think I read it to you on a Sunday morning, that there'd be some that were supposed to be in this area that he would send back. And this time they'd do it right. This time they'd have his plan and not their plan. I mean, for a lot of years, I didn't understand that, did you? I didn't understand about being led by the Spirit. We were talking about it yesterday. It's like everyone wants to just say a bunch of stuff and do a bunch of stuff, and it's nothing more like praying a rosary or having a rote. About every situation, you just go shout, saying stuff. Is it sanctioned by God? Is it led by the Spirit? Is it just what you've learned from what books you've read, preachers you've heard? I know a lot of mine was just nothing but rote that I heard other preachers say. And I did it too. So that's what Paul was talking about. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of this one. I'm of that one. There is no of this one or that one. It's just the Holy Ghost. I'm of the Holy Ghost. Period. Of the Holy Ghost doesn't mean God doesn't use them. Yes, they do, but we're not to idolize them. You're not to idolize me. We need examples to walk before us. I hear that. But as far as looking to a man that's got your answer, that's not good. It's good to have strong leaders that do it right. But when we're looking for answers, we need to be looking one place. Right here. All right. That's what the book of Acts really shows. It was their journey. Them going into places and building a spiritual house. That's probably why it's called the book of Acts. It was Holy Ghost action. It wasn't men just building churches, because they already had that under the law. Grand temples and all those things under the law. All right. There's no rogue agents in the kingdom of God, because God's not going to recognize a rogue agent. This is what he said. We read this last week also. I think that he's also mainly in this context too, speaking to prophets, because they're the ones that receive the blueprints. All right. 26 through 40, 14, let's go back. Says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, at the most by three, or that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. You know why? Because they're only going to have a part. You know, when you come into an assembly and you've got several prophets there, it's not the top dog does it all. It's that there are different gifts flowing, and there may be several prophets flowing. Each one has their part. Nobody has the whole picture. All right. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. All right? That's what I want you to see. It's not just about these well-known prophets that have their shows and they have their books and their tapes and all of these things. And nobody will listen to anybody but them. They don't have the whole enchilada. They have part. We'll get to that. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are committed to be under obedience, as also saith the law, which when I did my last teaching, I got into that area where they're dealing with a Gentile church, and you have to think about, what was their worship like? Well, they had orgies in the temple. It's very blatant. The women were very flashy. Some of them didn't dress very nicely. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anything went? Well, it wasn't that way in this. This is a Gentile thing. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it's a shame for women to speak in the church. In the Hebrew church, the women sat in the balcony and the men sat down below. And the women were hollering down. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? We have to know, realize today that we are a body, and we are parts of that body, and we have a function, each one of us, whether it be a fivefold or not. All right. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues, but let all things be done decently and in order. Okay. Jesus said this about those who just prophesy out of their own head. This is Matthew 7. We looked at this last time. We probably looked at it a couple of weeks or more. 7:15. says 15 says, beware false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, every person that prophesies and maybe they missed it, didn't hear quite right, doesn't mean they're a false prophet. I hear that. If they say one word wrong, I'm a false prophet. No, they're not. They're a good person, but they are human, and they can miss it, right? Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. You look at the character of the person, right? By your fruit, by their fruit, you'll know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. There's been many times, you know, in church services over the years that words came forth, and sometimes they were coming forth because it was time, and sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes, you know, we just don't know. If we haven't been taught, we don't know. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I'm more of the kind that I will hold back because I want to make sure, you know. I don't want to step out there and say something, or it was that way when we were in churches especially, you know. So, anyway, prophecy, to speak or sing by inspiration, in prediction or simple disclosure, or speak by inspiration. That means inspiration by the Holy Spirit. All right, we're going to get into looking at some of the New Testament prophets. The first one's in Acts chapter 11. And I want you to notice, since we talked about the gifts of the Spirit, the different gifts of the Spirit that operate through the prophets, you'll probably recognize them. Acts 11, 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So he was seeing the future. Word of wisdom in operation. All right, Acts 13. Start with verse 1 there. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, I guess that's how you say it, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So these five, is it five? Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. Five prophets. As they ministered the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. That is biblical to ordain and send people out. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Who sent them forth? Holy Ghost. departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle into Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. So here this sorcerer shows up. If it's anything like we experienced, we probably really were getting some flack and thought, what's going on? And said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. Paul was hearing from the Holy Spirit. He set his eyes on him. Thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believing, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Have you ever seen anything like this happen? All your years in church? I haven't. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John's departing from them. I don't need to read that part. But my point is, when they turned to start following the Holy Spirit and doing the will of God, they started coming into demonic entities. This guy was subverting the faith, evidently, right here. To pervert the right ways of the Lord, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? So it tells me it must have been somebody teaching some other kind of doctrines, like them myths and legends we've been talking about, that's like what's going on today, doctrines of devils. I mean, when you come across somebody like that, it's like it sticks out like a sore thumb. So the first thing to do, especially this apostolic team, was to, Lord showed Paul what to do and what to say. All right. Let's keep going here. I put here Acts 2. Let's go back to Acts 2. Starting with 8. Let me make sure that's that and not something. Well, I don't think I was going there. Hold on. Well, we had to get it out of the way. Well, I'm not going to spend much time on it. Let me go to Joel chapter 2. Maybe that's what I'm looking at. I am right here. Go back to Acts 2. Now I realize the Holy Spirit was telling me this morning. Okay. All right, this is the day of Pentecost. Right here. And says, and how hear we, verse 8, every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia. Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and the parts of Libya, about Cyrenians, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. All right, let's go to Joel 2, which was the prophecy that he is referring to. Let me find where Joel is. Sometimes I can't see him going that direction. There it is. Joel chapter 2, 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants, upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out of my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. From Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Okay? All right, now go to Acts 2, 17. Well, I just read that to you, so don't turn there. Sorry. All right. But the point is what's being made here, I want you to see. It says all of those who will prophesy, your daughters, your young men, your old men shall dream dreams. Your servants and your handmaids he'd pour out his spirit upon, and they would prophesy. He didn't leave any group out pretty well. All right? Let's keep going here. Do prophets know everything? No. Like I said, they have a part. They have their part. And I think probably more than likely, it's like with apostles. They have their jurisdiction, like the Lord's spoken to me about, over the nation. But to me, it's classic for a prophet to be over someone like there's a natural leader involved. Because in the Old Testament, they worked with the natural leader. They're always telling the king or whatever, you know, what they needed to do for the nation. Or if they were getting off. Here'd come the prophet on the scene to say, thus saith the Lord, you need to get back on track, and if you don't, this is going to happen. Okay, it's still the same way today. Okay. Now, let's see. They can only do their part, and that's only by the mind of the Holy Ghost. Like I've told you before, you can't assume something. If God gives you a word, like I was telling you about the person that had taken the, you know, shots and had this problem, and the Lord said, go tell them not to take any more of them things. But there was somebody else involved in it that the Lord showed me that same thing happened to them, but he didn't say, go tell that person. Just that person. So we can get into trouble if we think, well, that I guess I better tell everybody. No, we have to follow the Holy Spirit. All right. The gifts are to be operated by love. Okay? Let's look at love. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll see the characteristics. Starting with verse 1 there. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. Does this sound like a prophet? Knowledge, all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and I have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Which charity is just love. It just, they interpret it charity. I don't know why. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. I'm thinking about, Jonah here. He's mad because they repented. That's why he didn't want to go. He said, I know you're a merciful God, and you will have me go there, and then they'll repent. he wanted to see him get smacked down. Have you ever been that way? You want to see somebody get justice? We have to watch it in this day. Because there's some of them, especially them that have hurt the babies. It can be real, you know, you can say, Lord, you're the righteous judge. This is what I'd like to see, but, you know, you're the righteous judge, not me. But on the other hand, the Lord's told us that the very fact that if they cried out to me at their last breath, I'd snatch them out of the fire. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Paul goes on to say, when I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly. That's the way prophecy is. You're seeing a part. You're not seeing the whole picture. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. So we have to keep that in mind. When the Lord gives us something, it's from the mind of the Spirit. And he's requiring you to do just exactly what he said do, not anything more or less. Okay. And realize, I know the temptation there is to add to, you know what I'm saying? Assume the Lord means this or that. Yeah. You have to stop and think about him. You know? I pray that all the time. Lord, don't let me add anything. Or, you know, anyway. Okay, now let's go to Acts 15. Start with 22 there. All right. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barnabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare you well. Same thing goes today. And when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. When they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide still there. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of God with many others also. So this doctrine was floating around, trying to infiltrate, you know, like I said, it's still going on today, trying to infiltrate, trying to put Christians back under the law. And they sent the prophets in with the revelation to set matters straight and get things back decently in order. And apostles. These are apostles and prophets here. All right. Can you see that? And some days after Paul had said unto Barnabas, let's go in and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John Mark, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So Paul followed the Spirit on with the assignment. Barnabas stepped out. Okay. Paul was an apostle, and there's times where he had to correct, just like this about them trying to bring them back under the old covenant and diet and all that kind of stuff. He had to do some other correction because some other things start floating around. This is 1 Thessalonians. I want to look at first chapter 4. I'm going to look at verse 15 there. Well, let's start with 13 there. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be ever with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So evidently there must have been something going around. Well, it's already happened. You missed it. Comfort. Said, comfort one another with these words. Not, I remember when Joe Sproul was here, I remember one Sunday morning he was teaching on that. He said, it didn't say terrorize one another with these words. There's a lot of that terrorizing going on today. Yeah. All right. Let's keep going here. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. It says, quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. You know, you get to where if you get a wrong word, you won't ever hear anybody prophesy again. You don't believe anybody. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. All right, 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, verse 18, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So Timothy had some prophecies over his life and ministry. And, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, I've had quite a few over my life in ministry, too. It doesn't really matter how long it takes. It says that you just need to hold to those things that's been spoken over your life. It'll come. When God sees that you're in the position to step up into that place. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 5. No, I'm sorry, 4, not 5. All right, 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. So, yeah. We got to always know that God's put giftings in us, and we're always working toward that. All right, Titus. We're going to look at 1, 15, and 16. Well, let's go to 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity and patience. The aged women likewise. That they be in behavior as becoming holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Goes on to talk about exhort servants to be obedient to their masters and please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. That they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So we're supposed to be above mind. That, a lot of that's about a pastor, but it's not. It's all the fivefold ministry gifts. They should be above reproach and people of integrity, or they shouldn't be in that position until they get to the place where they are that way. All right. All right, that's going to do it.